Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the Yellowstone region, bringing you the latest news of the area. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is the 2nd of June, 2026, a Tuesday. Montana voters will select nominees in today's state primary to replace two prominent Republican incumbents, U.S. Senator Steve Daines and U.S. Representative Ryan Zinke. Montana has not been at the top of the list. Seats Democrats hope to flip to regain control of either body, but the retirements do creak open the door for a candidate to possibly take advantage of the state's independence streak. Daines has endorsed former U.S. Attorney Kurt Almay to replace him, while Zinke has endorsed his former congressional aide Aaron Flint to be his successor. Former University of Montana President Seth Bodner is running in the general election for U.S. Senate as an independent. In races for state legislature, the Montana Republican Party is backing challenges to four Republican state House incumbents, but the endorsements put the party at odds with Republican Governor Greg Gianforte. State officials are hosting a brief public comment period today for a controversial mental health facility in Laurel. The facility will treat Montanans mentally unfit to stand legal trial. Locals argue the state hasn't been transparent about the project and say it's too close to homes and schools. State health officials say the building will be secure. The state's forensic mental health facility near Butte is overwhelmed. Inmates can often wait months to get in. Some county attorneys have dropped charges because wait times are too long. The public hearing will be at the Billings Hotel and Convention Center from 1 till 3 this afternoon. Written public comments will be accepted until 5 p.m. Wyomingites have 12 candidates to choose from to represent the state in the U.S. House. That includes 10 Republicans and 2 Democrats, all vying for the lone House seat. The U.S. Senate race is also crowded, 5 Republicans and 2 Democrats running. Other races that are heating up for the governorship, 4 Republicans will run against 1 Democrat, and the Secretary of State, that's the state's top election official, with 5 Republicans, 1 Democrat. In the state legislature, newcomers are challenging some members of the more conservative Freedom Caucus, which will try to hold on to its majority in the state House. Plus, several Freedom Caucus representatives are trying to switch to the Senate. Wyoming's primary election is on August 18th. A federal program that helps Butte and Walkerville residents clean up lead contamination is changing. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports the new proposed rules will mean more locals will be able to decontaminate their homes.
Decades of smelting and mining activity left contaminants, including lead, in Butte soil and dust. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Monday formally proposed lowering the lead levels that require cleanup by 2/3. A lower threshold means more people will have access to the program. Officials also want to expand the boundary of the cleanup area to include another 7,100 homes. Homes with the most vulnerable populations, including those with young children and pregnant and nursing mothers, would continue to be prioritized. EPA's proposal undergoes a 30-day public comment period through June 30th. A formal public meeting will be held June 16th at Montana Tech. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
A watchdog organization warns that people in eastern Montana could see their energy bills go up to keep a Michigan coal plant online. Laura Hatch with Big Sky Connection has the story.
The Trump administration has ordered several extensions for the J.H. Campbell plant in West Olive, Michigan, to keep operating past its retirement date, which was May of last year. Primary owner Consumers Energy wants to recover the $180 million cost of running the plant by charging consumers in 11 states, including Montana. Ann Hedges with the Montana Environmental Information Center criticizes these steps.
It is mind-numbing to me that this administration is ignoring years worth of work by these states to transition away from a dirty, expensive, unreliable coal plant.
The charges would affect customers on the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator Grid, or MISO, which includes up to 40,000 ratepayers in Montana. Consumers Energy projected closing the plant would save customers $30 million a year. The U.S. Energy Secretary issued a fifth emergency order last month, saying the plant is needed to address critical grid reliability issues heading into the summer. The latest extension runs through August 16th. I'm Laura Hatch, reporting.
A Montana Supreme Court case is inching ahead in the ongoing argument over federal immigration enforcement between State Attorney General Austin Knutson and Gallatin County Attorney Audrey Cromwell. The court on Thursday ordered Cromwell to submit a response to Knutson's bid for dismissal. In his filing, Knutson asks for the court to reject the case as without grounds or merit. Last year, Cromwell's office denied an ICE request for non-criminal confidential information. Then in April, Knutson sent a cease and desist letter directing the Gallatin County Attorney's Office to accommodate all federal immigration enforcement requests as standard policy. Knutson took supervisory control of Cromwell's office in late April following pushback. Cromwell is asking the Supreme Court to determine how Montana's privacy laws impact a local government's legal approach toward federal immigration. The court orders Cromwell to respond to Knutson's challenge against the legitimacy of the case by Monday, June 8th. Wyoming is close to designating a migration corridor for pronghorn, a move conservation biologist Joel Berger has long supported. Berger has tracked this effort since the early 2000s. Back then, he urged action to protect pronghorn moving through areas affected by natural gas development. This week, a working group appointed by Governor Mark Gordon completed its review of the corridor. The recommendations will soon reach the governor. The process has faced resistance from industries and counties, but no working group members voted against the designation. One member, oil and gas industry representative Jasmine Allison, voted to let the designation go forward with serious reservations. Two others, agriculture industry representative Mike Henn and mining industry representative Craig Rood, voted to designate with reservation. The other eight members were fully on board. Land and wildlife managers are limiting camping along a section of the Yellowstone River in Park County because of grizzly bear activity. The Bureau of Land Management on Monday announced that only hard-sided camping structures will be allowed at Carbella Recreation Site this summer and fall. The order prohibits soft tents, pop-up campers, and canvas-sided vehicles. Staff say the restrictions are to decrease the likelihood of human bear encounters, which are common in the area. The order is in place through the end of the year. The Great Falls Turf Club is canceling this year's horse race season. YPR's Kay Erickson has the details.
The Turf Club posted a news release announcing the cancellation last week on their Facebook page. Races were scheduled to begin in about a month and a half, but the Turf Club said unexpected budget shortfalls had left the club unable to cover operational expenses. Turf Club spokesperson Chad Swift said the club is focused on building a sustainable financial foundation so we can welcome everyone back to the grandstands. Montana typically has two race meets a year, three weekends in Great Falls during the State Fair in July, and three weekends in Miles City during the Miles City Bucking Horse Sale in May, which has taken place. Montana horse racing, both live and simulcast, is overseen by the Montana State Board of Horse Racing through the State Commerce Department. According to the Horse Racing Board's 2025 annual report, Miles City had 56 races last year, with nearly $273,000 in wagering, while Great Falls had 52 races with just over $410,000. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
It's true, all elections have consequences, but sometimes a single vote can make a bigger splash than usual. That may be the case during Montana's primary election today. Montana Free Press reporter Zeke Lloyd sat down with Montana Public Radio's Austin Amistoy to explain.
So you've spent some time reporting on a number of reasons why this primary in Montana may be particularly consequential. Can you give our listeners a broad overview of what you've been thinking about?
Yeah, sure. Firstly, there's kind of a weird mathematical phenomenon that comes out of primary elections as a result of the fact that people just don't vote as much in primaries, so votes actually kind of count for more. Then the other thing is that in a state like Montana, it's a very Republican state. It means a lot of big elections are kind of decided in the primary because by the time the general comes around, there are a lot of places where a Democrat just has a very low chance of winning. So for both of those reasons, primaries actually have a lot of significance statewide.
Let's break both of those down then, Zeke. That sounds great. And I want to start with the numbers game you just brought up here. This is a midterm election. There's no presidential candidates on the ballot, and it's a primary, not the general. So what does that usually do for turnout in Montana?
Right. So my sister's the engineer. I'm a journalist. So there are a lot of moving kind of mathematical pieces here. I'll try to break them down very simply. So the primary versus the general, this is just a trend we see throughout all of Montana's kind of recent voting history. General elections just draw about twice as many voters as primaries. So that's first and foremost. There are fewer voters in a primary, which means a single ballot goes farther. But then, as you mentioned, it's also a midterm year. So that means there's no presidential election in November. And that's another reason, this is nationwide, people just don't vote as much in midterm elections. So we also see lower voter turnout as a result of that. The way I like to think about this is 2024, we saw a presidential election in November. We had over 500,000 Montanans vote, and that was to allocate Montana's 4 electoral votes out of the country's 535. Now, if you look at Montana's primary that's happening right now, we're seeing just a few hundred or a few thousand ballots competing with yours, and a decision over who's going to represent your specific local district in the state legislature.
Now, Zeke, important to note here, no one's getting elected to office tomorrow, right? We still have the general election to go. So why might some of these primary races matter tomorrow?
Well, that's absolutely true. No one is going to take office as a result of the election, the primary election. But in a Republican state, we have a lot of places where the Republican primary is probably going to be a lot more competitive than the actual general election in November. So you look at 2 PSC votes. That's the Public Service Commission. They decide how much you pay and kind of regulate the utilities you have as a utility consumer for much of Montana. And the two races going on are both competitive Republican primaries, and a Democrat hasn't been on the PSC since, it's been over a decade, more than a decade since we've had a Democrat on the PSC. So those Republican primaries are going to be quite decisive, essentially almost locking in which candidate is actually going to take office in November. And John Bennion talks about this in his 2026 edition of Big Sky Politics for a lot of eastern Montana as well. Eastern Montana, outside of reservation communities, is very conservative. And so a lot of those primaries for the state legislature are ultimately gonna be probably the deciding vote for who takes office, because when November rolls around, Democrats just aren't gonna be that competitive.
Zeke, finally, you wrote about voters picking a partisan flavor in this election. What do you mean by that? I am guessing this is different from choosing a scoop at the ice cream shop.
You know, it's maybe not as different as we'd like to think. You know, let's say you want chocolate in your ice cream. There's still going to be a pretty big difference between mint chocolate chip and peanut butter chocolate. It's really an opportunity for voters to figure out what kind of, in a lot of cases, Republican they want to see in office. The Western Congressional District comes to mind. We have 3 candidates there, and they're really offering voters in Western Montana very different kinds of Republicanism. And that gives voters really 2 choices. 1, what kind of Republican would I like to see in office? And 2, because it's a primary, voters might also be considering, well, there's a very competitive Democratic field, so which of these candidates is most likely to win the general election? And that might influence how people vote as well.
Zeke Lloyd is a reporter with Montana Free Press. Zeke, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
That's The Worm for this Tuesday. Catch up with us tomorrow morning. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.